Because what you're going through does not affect this town. It doesn't make things any worse because God is still on the throne.
Amen.
So as we prepare our hearts for the word of God tonight, I want you to be encouraged that God is a good God. And he will meet every one of your needs. The song we sang tonight says the blood reaches to the highest mountain. And it flows to the lowest valley. So that means that no matter how high you are, God is good. And no matter how low you get, God is still good. Give the Lord a hand tonight.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Working with this single camera I have here tonight, trying to get it up and running. And, see if we can do some great things, and we'll see how it works out. Hopefully, I get it working in a minute.
We can see you, though.
There you go. All right, praise the Lord. I want to. Praise the name. I thank God for his goodness and his mercy tonight. I thank God for Lord and Holy Pastor Maston. Thank Mrs. Smith Cadogan for the song. She and little Deacon Cadogan who's back there. I want to look at two scriptures tonight. One's in Philippians and the other one's in Colossians. And I heard Pastor Maston say tonight, he thanked God for all of you, and I do too. And I praise the Lord for all of you being there, and for those who are here in Palmas and those who are on the air. I would encourage everybody whose picture I don't see, you know, if you don't have, if you only have your pajamas on, then just put on a shirt. You can leave the bottoms on. And let us see your face. And, you know, so you can join in with us. And then, you know, if your head ain't combed, you can comb it real quick and show up and praise his holy name. I thank God for his goodness and his mercy today. And Pastor Maston said something when we were getting ready to start. He said this. He thanks God for all the saints and holies of holies. And he says he realizes that every church is not for everybody. That's why there's many of them.
Yeah.
I was listening to Elder Lucky the other day, and she, if you have an opportunity to go out to Facebook and catch Sword of the Spirit on Tuesday night, she really did an excellent job of teaching out of Corinthians. And so if you have an opportunity, I listen to a lot of people, but that one stuck with me a lot because she did such a great job with it. But she said something, too. She said that one of the things we have to make a difference is, especially in our churches, is what is God and what is cultural.
Mm-hmm.
She says because, and I know so, too, because I talk about it from time to time, but people worship God according to their culture.
Yeah,
and your music is according to your culture and everything else. And so that's why we have many churches, because if you like country western music, then you would probably like a church where the music fits that. And if you like kind of bluesy music, you probably want a little Pentecostal. And if you like up-tempo and new music, you're probably trying to find a place for that. But the bottom line is the one thing that has to be consistent is they have to preach and teach the word of God. Your ticket, your way into heaven, although we have a multitude of cultures and the ways we are. As a matter of fact, we even clap differently. You know, predominantly black people clap on 2 and 4 in America. Because when I go to South America and places like that, they clap on 1 and 3.
Yes.
But I guess around the world, more people clap on 1 and 3 than 2 and 4. But we have that little syncopation in us that makes us do it differently. And God's all right with that. He doesn't have a problem with that. It doesn't matter to him. As long as you worship him. And the Holy Spirit is such that's what I love about the Spirit. He's not like a law, so someone can say, that music, someone can say, God doesn't like that music. The Spirit is the one who decides whether the music is reverential and whether or not it praises God or not. And while you might not like, you know, a particular genre of music or whatever, when people are singing praise to God, especially, and we probably need to get out of it because, you know, when you go around the world and people are praising God in different languages, you surely can't say anything about that. So you can't say, there's got to be my language.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
So we need to get to a point where we are understanding that. That being said, though, regardless of what language it is, whether your music is has an R&B flavor or has a blues flavor, or little, you know, people say jazz and gospel, jazzful or whatever it is, You know, and I've spoken against that. Stop doing that too. If you can worship God with it, and the Holy Ghost can sense that the worship of God is going up with it, then fine. But what you must make up your mind about is, you have to allow the Holy Spirit to speak so He can say to you, I don't like that.
Yes.
And it's not an issue of what we don't like or do like. And by the same token, you have to be open. All of us have to be open enough to realize when the Spirit is really enjoying something, whether we even like it or not. I have a few little songs in there. One in particular, Paul really likes, I Can't Even Walk Without Holding Your Hand.
Yes.
And it's a little country western thing, but we love that. And many others. And so there's so much music that is written and that's crossed all over. And I just use music as an example. Bottom line is, you have to find some place where the gospel is being preached, where you can sit like the folk in Holy of Holies tonight, like the folk in New Covenant, like the people in Promise. You have to find some place where the gospel is being preached so in a way that you will hear it.
Right.
Yeah.
Not every teacher can teach everybody. Not every coach is for everybody. For all of us who watch any of the NFL, you know, you got 30 teams, and I mean 2018, whatever. I mean, you got, and every one of those coaches have a different style, and some players just can't, you know, they just can't deal with some of them.
Yeah.
It's the same thing in the house of God. You have to find someone. Some people like a hoop and a holler, and I have no problem with that. I kind of like that, and a little bit more drama and a little bit more, a little bit more emotion. And then some people can sit there and listen to someone in a monotone all night long. It's just not for me. You said, well, you can't hear them because they speak. I will press my way to hear them if they're speaking about God. The Word of God finds me, and you can sound any way you want to sound. But you got to find out what you got to make up your mind that I'm going to stick and stay, just like finding a school that works for you and a university that works for you or a trade that works for you. You got to make up your mind, I'm going to stay here because there's a benefit in it. And the benefit is eternal life. I need to hear the Word of God so that no one can say, well, the reason why I didn't hear the Word of God is because I didn't like the pastor. I talked to a person today, and I've talked to a lot of people who, around here, and I'm sure in every city, we have a lot of people who are homeless and a lot of people who, I don't like to use the term bums. Let's say they're kind of con artists, because I've made up my mind, and this is not being pious, and it's not trying to be super sophisticated or anything like that, but there are very few people whose lives aren't the way they are because of decisions they have made. There are remarkably few. There are few people, you've been in a war zone and it's really messed up your mind and things. I got it. I get that. You have some disease and it affects you in different ways. I got all that. But that aside, among most people that we see who are homeless in other places, I'm not doubting them. I'm saying they got there by some of the decisions that they made themselves. And if I could get them to allow me, and the point of it is Satan is such an egregious person, and he's such an evil person and so mean, that in their disadvantage, he takes advantage of them and puts them in a place where no one can bring them out. It's like when our children listen to the wrong person, and we can't get them to go straight, and we know what they need to do, but someone else has their ear, and try as we might, we can say whatever we want to them, but this person, whoever it is, for no real reason, I know the reason is because evil spirits have an affinity to people when they're not right, but no matter what you say to them, you can't seem to reason with them and get them to change and go in a different way. I know, I've been there both with my children, I've been that way myself. So when the devil comes with the, with people who are kind of out of it, he keeps them out there. He pimps them and keeps them on the street. Won't let them come to God. Won't let them hear the Word of God. And he, makes it, he uses the frailties and failings of the saints of God. We all have shortcomings and flaws, and he likes to point those things out to say to people, they're no different from you. They have their shortcomings and flaws. They don't do everything right. And the truth of it is we don't. But the difference is we have a Savior.
Yeah.
And we have someone who sustains us. Yes, our, you know, it's like anybody else who goes out. You know, everybody's clothes get dirty, but I have a washing machine. And I can clean mine from time to time. And I have someone who, you know, my wife will point out, there's a spot on that. And you need to have somebody in your life who will say to you, you have a spot. And some things aren't right. And when the Spirit of God comes with the Word of God, He says to you, there's something about you that... And it isn't like He comes and beats you down. You're wrong, and you'll never be right. What's so nice about God is He comes in and says, you know, everything about you is not doing well. There's some things that could be better. And He proceeds to explain how it can be done and why it can be done. Don't tell me I'm wrong all day long and not explain to me what the right way is.
That's right.
That's right.
That's why I don't like preachers who rebuke. Well, if I'm so wrong, what do I need to do to be right?
That's right.
In other words, just like the Word of God says, when the people come and ask Jesus, what do I need to do to be saved? I heard you tell me. Man said, you know, Jesus will say, you know, all those who don't, it's about a straight gate, you know, you're going to be lost in this. And then people come and say, well, what do I need to do?
Yes.
When Peter and James and John and all of them preached in Acts, after they had preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified and resurrected the people, it says they were pricked to their heart and they came to Him saying, what do I need to do to be saved? Okay, where do I start?
Yes.
Sign me up, the song used to sing. Sign me up. How do I get started? What do I need to do? And then when they do that, then we need to be able to tell them. I can tell you the first thing you need to do is come to the point that you're not right.
Yes.
I didn't say that you're, you know, some people like to make that be such a horrible thing. There are many things we're not right about. Some of them you're just not ready to accept. And even after we come to God, we still have a lot of things in us that are not perfect in God. That's the reason why the Word of God says we are made perfect in Christ.
Yes.
Our perfection is in Him.
That's right.
The blood washes us and helps us be perfect. The Word of God regenerates and restores us and helps us be perfect.
Yes.
The glory of God and the power of God keeps us in the right mind. And when we're wrong, the Spirit comes. And you know that what I'm saying is right because you know yourselves. When you're wrong and the Lord says you need to get right, when you repent, you feel so good about yourself.
Yes,
I do.
Yes, right.
And I feel like, you know, the wrong has been righted and I'm okay and I can go on in God. That's a foretaste of the glory to come.
Yeah.
So when we're the house of God, and I'm glad the saints are in holies of holies and hearing the Word of God that's keeping you. That is that Jesus saves. Well, what is the word of faith? What is the Word of God? Jesus saves.
Yes.
Jesus washes.
Yes.
Jesus cleanses.
Yes.
Jesus gives life.
Yes.
Jesus restores.
Yes.
Jesus renews.
Yes, He does. Thank you.
Jesus gives everlasting life. Jesus blesses in this life. The Word of God, the Word of faith that keeps us and causes us to go on in God. And then we have this really, 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 really huge word that encompasses so many things. It's such a long word that there are very few people can even pronounce it. And the word is grace.
Yes.
And there's so much covered under grace.
Yes.
There's so much there under grace. It's because of the grace of God that His mercy comes.
Yes.
Because He could stop being merciful to me when I'm wrong. But because of His grace, His unmerited favor, I don't deserve Him to give me another chance. But He does. Grace. I don't know how to have another church, so He sends another chance. So He sends the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Grace. I don't know how to pray, so He teaches me to pray. Grace. I don't know who to listen to, so He sends someone and says, this is the one. Grace. He just moves and moves and moves, and not only saves me by grace, but sustains me.
Yes.
Christ's death on the cross of Calvary, God's grace. His powerful death and burial and resurrection, God's grace. He was resurrected to save me. I didn't pay God, deserve God, didn't do any of these things. But God did this because of God's favor to me, God's love for me, His grace, His mercy. You're listening to me tonight, and I'm trying as hard as I can to give you a word of God because of the grace of God, trying to build up and encourage and strengthen you in the power of God and in the mind of God because of the grace of God. Because God is such that He not only would He save you, but He would not have you not be saved.
Yes, He wouldn't have you be lost. Right?
He would not have you fall. God is not willing that any should perish. But all should come to repentance. So, then that means everybody's saved already. No, Carlton Pearson, it doesn't mean that. It means that God doesn't want anybody to perish.
Yes.
But if you won't have God, you surely will do it.
That's right.
So I want to look tonight, and I'm going to look in Philippians tonight in a moment, and I'm going to read one. I'm going to read a scripture in Colossians, and then I'm going to go home. In Philippians, the first chapter, second chapter, and I want to, and I'm going to, I'm looking at doing it. I don't see my parallel, so I'll use this. I'm going to be reading in New King James, because I'm going to switch over to the New King James Bible eventually, because that's, if it doesn't change anything, it's just a little bit easier to read. And let's see, Philippians. I have a hard time finding scriptures in this than I do in my regular Bible. I can flip through my Bible real quick. It says, if there be any consolation in Christ.
What verse?
I'm sorry, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. Let me try it on another one. Yeah, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. If there's any consolation in Christ, or any encouragement from belonging in Christ, any consolation means if there's any good thing coming after being in God.
Yes.
If there be any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded and having the same love, being one accord and of one mind. Paul is saying, for everybody who understands the benefit of being in Christ, and you get something out of it. I get a lot out of being in Christ. Some days the devil will ride up on you, and what he will do is he'll try and tell you that you really haven't gained anything in the Lord. He'll try and make you seem like, you know, out of all the years, and it doesn't stop because you've been in for a long time or you've been in for a week. The devil never quits.
Yeah, no, he
doesn't. He's not going to quit until he's in chains.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter how long you've been saved or how much words you know. What it does by being saved a long time and knowing the Word of God and having experience in the Spirit and having a move of the Spirit is that he doesn't bother you as much.
Yeah.
And you rebuke him sooner. And it's not likely that he's going to turn you around as easily, but it doesn't stop him from coming.
You're right.
He still goes out seeking who he can destroy, and he's a lot less likely to be able to devour someone who's been saved for 30 years if they have been faithful and know the Word of God. Of course, you know, if you've been sitting around for 30 years and you still haven't learned the Word of God, you're still in a danger zone.
Yeah.
But if you have been in the Word of God and you've been faithful, it's not likely he'll turn you around, but it doesn't stop him from trying. If he tried to turn around the Son of God, not once.
Right.
It isn't like he just tried him in the desert and then left him alone and said he left him for a season. But he kept showing up.
Okay.
He showed up in the Pharisees. He
yeah.
showed up in Jesus' family. He showed up in Jesus' brothers. He
yeah.
showed up among the Jewish people. He just kept popping up
yeah.
every time he could and didn't stop popping up. Even when Jesus was on the cross, he still showed up saying, if you are the Son of God, come down.
Yeah.
He never changes his mind. So you need the Word of God and the Spirit of God, that once you have, the Lord has come in and washed you and cleansed you and given you this great salvation. This is the reason why when we're reading Ephesians, and sometimes I know it's kind of dead when we go to Ephesians and we go to Colossians and to Corinthians and all of them, and we read this long list of things. Wherefore, put away malice and put away wrath and let all clamoring cease. And I'm going to go to one today. Let not filthy communication, you know, let not corrupt communication out of your mouth. All those things. It's because those things open doors for the devil to come in. They make a way. When you're angry, you lose control to some degree of your functions when you're angry. This is why when people lose their temper and do all these things, and some people find it very convenient to lose their temper because they're able to say to people, don't mess with them, they have a quick temper.
Yeah.
Well, you know, let your moderation be known. If you tend to have a temper, more people have been killed, more abuse has happened in people's houses, more furniture has been damaged, more things have been torn up, more lives have been upset because people couldn't control themselves. And then when you add to that, that you allow some substance to, you introduce some substance into your body, that causes you to be less inhibited and causes you to do even more, then the devil just loves that because it doesn't take him much power to push you over the brink.
That's right.
And then when you wake up the next morning, having been someone who's in, you know, you're in Promise Church or Holies of Holies, or you're in New Covenant or whatever, and here it is, you know, you cut the food on Saturday night, and here it is Sunday morning. The first thing he says to you when you get up, because you usually come, he's going to always come and say to you, ain't no need you going to church today. And what he's done is he has wounded you, and he doesn't want you to go for help. And you know, and the things that have, you know, he causes you to do things you ought not do. He wounds you, and then he says to you, hey, look, you're lost. You're dying. Nobody can help you. No need of you going today. You may as well stay home today. Just roll on over and stay in the vehicle, because as bad as you cut up last night. And you know, that's the very time when the Lord would say to you, you know, if you would come, to be restored.
Yes.
Because the longer you wait to take care of a wound, the worse it gets.
Yes.
The longer, you know, the longer you wait to fix it up and bandage it up and get some Holy Ghost bandage on it, some Word of God, and allow the Holy Spirit to come in and comfort you, and allow the Word of God to come in, and the Lord will come in. He'll say, well, you were wrong about last night, but you'll be all right.
Yeah.
He'll say, you were wrong about what you did, and he'll say, like God said to Cain, he asked Cain, he said, do you know what you've done? And the Lord will say to you, do you know what you've done? You were wrong about what you did, but we can fix that.
Yeah.
You know, if you'll just, you know, if you'll just say, you know, if you can come to it that you were wrong and you're sorry about it and ask me, he says, I'll apply the blood, you know, and I'll blot it out. I'll take it away. You'll be all right. Now get on up and keep on running. Because when it comes down to it, as he says in this, and it's in Second Corinthians, in Philippians, I want to go all the way down to I want to go down to verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And I'm cutting across from Philippians to get down to that part, because I want you to know that what I'm working on tonight is I'm saying to you, you have some responsibility in making it to heaven. You don't have the responsibility for washing away your sins. God does that. You don't have the responsibility for giving yourself new life. God does that. You don't have to send a Savior. God does that. You don't have to change your body from mortal to immortal. God does that. You don't have to. There's a lot that you don't have to do, but you still have some responsibility.
Yes, yes.
You have to work with God. We are fellow laborers. I think the scripture tonight, the scripture going into the jurisdiction, we're laborers with God. We're working with God. You'll never learn anything if you won't work with the person who's teaching you. You become someone who's uncoachable. And so he says in this, in Philippians, going back now, he says in this, fulfill my joy in 5. Let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus. In other words, be like Christ. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant. And the reason why he compares us to God is because when we come to the Lord, we have a lot of us.
Oh, yeah.
We have an arrogance about us. And, you know, my mother would say, you come, you don't have a pot nor a window, but, you know, you act like, you know, you got everything going. And, you know, for some reason or another, it ought not be so that if you're homeless and you're on the corner and if you're bold enough to stand out there with a sign all day long, but you have a mindset, but you don't want me to give you the one person that can not only feed you today, but feed you forever.
Yes.
That's what's so heinous about the devil and so evil about him. He won't let you go for help.
Yeah.
He wounds you and won't let you go for help.
Yes.
He appeals to your arrogance. He appeals to your self-esteem. He appeals to all of your thoughts. He appeals to your intellect, to your intelligence, and he tells you that all the things that God would do, you don't need them, and there's a reason why. And then the devil does something that he's been doing since the beginning, that he started, and he's the best at. He just flat out right lies.
Yes. Amen.
He just tells you, you know, heaven's not real. He tells you, you know, you don't want to go there. And he lies in so many ways.
Oh,
he,
yeah.
He uses little Philadelphia cream cheese commercials to make you think that heaven is boring because all anybody does is sit around up there all day long and eat cream cheese. And he uses all the little movies and things, the little zombie movies, to make you think that the resurrection is something ugly and torrid and skin's falling off and all these things. They're the undead. I'm not talking about being undead. I'm talking about being made immortal. I'm talking about being made changed. I'm talking about being made perfect. But he puts all that in your mind, and you have more of that in there than you think you do. Then he sends all the super brilliant people to explain to you how God is not this and God is not that. And then he points out every one of us who are in God and points out our frailties. I want to say this too for all of us who are both in God and who are not. You know what? When it comes down to looking at the saints of God and judging what they are and what they do, you might be right. They might be pitiful. They might not be very good saints. They might be poor saints and pitiful saints and not doing a very good job of it. But the fact that you're able to spot that, point that out, says to God, you know better.
Right.
If you can point out to people there's something wrong with Bishop Smith, then you know better.
Yes.
If you can point out that there's something wrong with Pastor Master, then you know better. Yes. And when you make that judgment, which is what the Bible says, judge not as you judge, you shall be judged, it goes on. When you can say there's something wrong with so-and-so, then that lets me know, that lets God know, you know better. And in the moment that you do that, the preachers ain't supposed to act like that, and you've just said, I know better than to act like that, then God holds you responsible. In the moment that you look at Sister So-and-so and say, you know, she's always in everybody's business. Well, who are you talking to? Aren't you in hers?
Well,
are you talking to yourself?
Yeah.
And in the moment that you do that, you know what you say? You know what God realizes about you? You know better. Let him that steal, that stole, steal no more. So he says this, and he uses Christ as an example about how he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross, became obedient so that he could save us. And this is what he says in this, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. In other words, he has rewarded him for it. And because of this, this is where we get the whereby, which is all the way down here, where, therefore, in 9. This is where we get the therefore. Because of all that Christ has done, in verse 12, he says for us, we need to obey too. Obey what? The law? No, obey God.
Yes.
And God is so easy. When you're wrong, repent. Pray. Ask the Lord. And then, above all else, ask God to give you a praying spirit. Ask God to come in and give you more of the Holy Ghost. And I love what he says, what Paul says in Romans. You know, wherefore the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Ask God to give you more love to love God with.
Yes.
So, Lord, you know what? I'm having a hard time loving you, but I want to love you more. We got to come to the point sooner or later where we realize the importance of being in God. It's not just somebody's trying to just change your life for the sake of changing your life, or I'm trying to change your life because I don't like your life, or someone else is trying to do it. We're trying to get you to have God, because in Him, you know, when you have God, God is all the perfection of God, and everything, every good and perfect gift comes down from above.
Amen.
What you need comes from God.
Yes.
God sustains a major portion of us in just giving us life when we don't even have God.
Yep.
Many people are breathing who don't even have God. Many people are in, you know, more people probably breathing who don't have God than do, and yet God sustains them too.
Yes, yes.
He says in this, wherefore, he says in 14 and 12, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, for it is God that works in you both the will and to do for his good pleasure. And so he says to Bishop Smith, you know what? They can say what they want to about you, but you got to figure out how to keep your salvation. You can, you know, people can, you know, to any one of you out there, you know, you can say, well, this and that and the other, but you got to figure out how to stay in God. And you know, and it's not hard to do because God will tell you how to do it. But you got to make up your mind. If I should die tonight, I don't want to wake up in hell.
No,
I've got to work out my own salvation. Yes. Salvation means there's something that has been salvaged that was lost.
Yes.
I was lost when I was born, and I've been salvaged by by God, by through his son Jesus Christ and by the blood of Christ. And I have to work that out myself. I've got to find a church where I can hear the word of God. I know we're using Zoom and we're doing a lot of things on TV because of COVID, but it doesn't take the place of having the fellowship and worshiping with saints.
That's true.
It will never do that. If you're an invalid and you can't get out, then Zoom works for you and the Holy Ghost will work through that. But if you're able-bodied, you're up and you're around and you're in everything else, you need to come to the house of God.
Yes.
There's not an excuse that you can give, because thereby, that's where you worship and that's where you pray. That's where we're drawn in. It is the house of God that you come to on Friday night to wash away the week.
Yes.
And every ill word that was said to you during the week, a good word needs to be said on Friday night.
Yeah.
And every person who told you of all your failures during the week, a good word to build you up needs to come on Friday night. Yes. It's not a night, as I knew people to have before, this is family night, just tear everybody down. That's not what it's for. When you come in the house of God, comfort is here.
Yes, yes.
Healing is here.
Yes.
Deliverance is here.
Yes.
The way out is here.
Yes.
When you come in, I take the responsibility as a pastor, being literally, when you come and you need a way out, I'm praying for the Spirit to tell you what to do for a way out.
Yes.
What you need is here.
Yes.
It isn't the same when you're sitting in front of TV, because when you're watching TV and you feel like getting up and going to get up a glass of water, you just get up and go. And if you're like me, it doesn't matter what it is. From time to time, you're probably not out unless somebody just really keep you interested. And even if you're watching every moment of it, it's not the same. I'm just going to live stream. No, get up. Unless you're in a situation where you can't do anything else. We're going through this COVID situation. We're coming out of it now. But get up. And we say, well, you're going to stop Zooming? No, I'm going to keep Zooming for people who need it. But for the people who are able to come to the house of God, you need to come. It's, you know, there's not a person in the world, and I don't understand why people always do this about church, and I don't like comparing the two, but it is true. Everybody I know knows that there's a difference between watching something on television and going and seeing it live. I love being in the baseball park. Watching it on TV is nothing like sitting in the park. A person who doesn't even like baseball can kind of get into the game in the park. Because of the atmosphere and everything that's going on, it's the same thing in the house of God. It is the emotion and it is the spirit moving among us and the way we're moving and the way we're worshiping God and praising God. That's why when people come to church, I'm a preacher. We can't waste people's time by not giving them anything when they show up.
Amen.
He says in this for every one of us. People, I was talking to a man today, and I'm getting near the end, Ellen Smith. And he was coming around gathering junk. And I've talked to many people who have come and told me how they used to be in church and how they loved the Lord and they were this and they were that and then they got on drugs and all these things. And half the time I look at them and say, yeah, yeah, yada, yada. You know, you just want me to give you a dollar and move on. This is probably one of the first people that when he was talking to me, I could say, you know what? This man once upon a time had something.
Mm, yeah.
And I said to him something. When he finished, and I just let him talk, and when he finished, I said, you mean to tell me that you were saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and you were in this church for 5 years? He says, yeah, and then, you know, and then the people started talking about me, and, you know, and the pastor kind of turned against me, and I was the pastor's right-hand man. And he says, the people started, you know, saying this and trying to take my place and got to a point where, you know, the pastor was listening to them more than me. He let pride run him out. That's something that comes to everybody. You have to be able to get through that. He let pride run him out. He said, so I just stopped going, and after a while, I just stopped going altogether. I said, do you mean to say you were in there all these years in this sanctified Holy Ghost-filled church, and you let the devil win? You worshiped God all this time, and then you turn around in the ninth inning and let the devil win when it's time for you to go? I said, well, where do you go to church? Where? No, I don't really go anywhere now. I said, well, you need to walk on in this Bible study. And you can sit anywhere in here you want to, because we got loads of seats.
Yeah.
And you can look any way you want to look. I don't mind.
Yeah.
But for himself, it's not about me and how great I preach. He needs to get back, if not this church, a church, any church where the gospel is being preached. He needs to keep himself in the love of God.
Yeah.
He needs to work out his own salvation. You need to hear the word of God, because that's what encourages you. You need to hear the word of God, because that's what gets you going. You need to hear the word of God because that's what comforts you. You must come back to hear. You must come and hear the word of God. Go. You must hear the word of God. You have to make sure that you come in the house of God so the Spirit of God can move. And the Spirit of God can lead you and guide you and can help you out and build you back up. Yes. That's what church is all about.
That's what it's supposed to be about, right?
I don't need a church where every time I come in, you feel the need to tear me down. I tear you down so I can build you back up. I wasn't torn. I was torn down when I walked in. Start the building process.
All right.
I don't need you to add to my frustration of the week, to my disappointment, my discouragement. I walked in here. Start the building process when I walk into the door. Say hello to me and glory to God and God bless you. And we're glad you're here when I walk in. Don't roll your eyes at me and look down at me like you don't want to speak. I came in here to get something from God. I'll tell you what, I won't come back. Because when I come to the house of God, I expect to be built up. I expect God to move. And we deserve that.
Yes, we do.
That's what we show up for. But then again, it's up to you to come.
Yes.
Work out your own salvation. You know, when the word of God is preached, it's for everybody. And as the Lord is working and changing you, you have to decide whether or not you're going to go along with God or not.
Yes.
No one can make you go along with God. If you have a habit, whatever it is, whether it's drinking, smoking, drugs, whatever it is, if it's men, women, it doesn't matter what it is. If you have some derogatory thing, you're a big liar, you use the profanity, whatever it is, you're stubborn. Stubbornness is just as big a sin as any of the rest of them.
That's right.
You have to, when God identifies that as a part of you that hinders you in your walk, you have to say, I need to stop doing that. You know, when the Lord brings it forth and he says to you, you need, you know, this is hindering you. And you know, I'll just use alcohol because that's easy. You didn't have the big DWI. You didn't do all this and doing all these things. And the devil's trying to kill you and destroy you. And the Lord is saying, you need to stop doing that. But more than that, he gives you the power to stop. That's where the Holy Ghost comes in.
Yes.
But you have to say, Lord, help me.
Lord, help me.
Lord, I'll stop if you'll help me. Lord, help me. I can't help myself. I need help. You have to decide. Because if not, you leave a door, but the devil will draw you back.
Yes.
Colossians 3, I'm sorry. I'm almost done. Favorite scripture. One of them. If ye then be risen with Christ, if you're in God, if you're in here tonight, you say, and if I ask you, are you saved? And you say yes. Are you saved? You say yes. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And you say, I've been redeemed. If I say to you tonight, are you on your way to heaven? And you say, yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
And if I say to you tonight, if Jesus comes back, will you go back with him? You say, yes, I will. If I ask you if you've been washed in the blood, if I ask you if you're a partaker of his death, burial, and resurrection, and he's given you new life, and you know you have new life because you feel different now. And somebody said, well, you don't always feel something. I know you feel different when the Lord saves you.
Yes, you do.
You might not feel it in your hands, might not feel it in your feet, but in your mind, you know you've been relieved.
Yes.
You know there's some comfort. You got somebody else on your side. If Jesus has come in, if the Spirit has come in, you know you're not by yourself. You know you have somebody on your side. You know that you got somebody who will heal you. You know you have hope. There's something you can, there's someone that you can depend on.
Yeah.
And so he says, if you then be risen in Christ, if you are alive in Christ, it's a time where you didn't have Christ, but now you do have Christ. If you do have Christ, he says to you in this one, he says, seek those things that are above. You do it.
Yeah.
You do it. Christ has done his part. He has come, bled, died, preached, gone back to heaven, sits at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. He's our great high priest. We can call on him anytime we need him. But you have to seek those things that are above. He says, if you then be risen in Christ, seek those things that are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You do it. Come to the house of God seeking Christ, seeking those things that are above. I want to know about the Lord.
Yes.
I want to know how to be delivered. I want to know what God does. I want to know how it works. I want more of the Holy Ghost. I need more help. I need to be strengthened by the Spirit of God. And I want to say this while I'm saying it. You know, for everybody who listens to me, don't ever doubt the Holy Spirit's real and he exists and lives. Because, you know, you done played around too long talking about luck. And luck is driven by evil spirits. And if you can believe in any kind of luck, you don't play the lottery. You're probably still playing it. Doing scratch offs and things. And doing all these things. Then you should have no problem believing in the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
You might, whether you have him or don't have him, you should have no problem believing in the Holy Spirit. You should have no, you know, no reservation about believing in the Spirit of God. And you should ask him to come in. When you're weak, you need the Spirit to come in and strengthen you with might by his power. How do you think we make it?
Yes.
I've heard people say to me, Bishop Smith, you know, you can, when you get up, you can really quote scriptures. You know, how did you learn all that? I haven't learned all that. He brings it back to my mind.
Yes.
So you just like you're just walking by. No, I'm not. I've read it, and when I need it, he brings it back to my mind. Because he doesn't only do it when I preach. He does it when I'm all by myself. When I'm down, he brings it back to my mind. He'll bring it back to my memory. When I'm going through, he brings it to me. He reminds me of what God has promised he will do and what God has promised he will do. He says to me, but the Lord is on your side and God is with you and God is watching you and God is with you. And you say, well, if God is with me, why is he moving? He says, well, you know, he's waiting. So what's the answer? He says, there's an answer for you. Just hold on. God will show up. He always does. He always has. If ye then be risen with Christ, believe in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, you seek.
Yeah, you seek,
You know, you is implied. You seek. If you are then risen with Christ, if you are, you know, you start doing it. Work out your own salvation. You seek the things that are above where Christ is on the right hand of God. You set your affections on the things above and on earth. In other words, learn to love God. Stop hating God. Stop dreading God. People come to church, but they don't want to come.
Yes.
Ask God, Lord, give me more of a love for you and the things that be of you, because the way of God is right. Lord, I want to love you more.
Yes.
It's the song we used to sing a long time ago. Lord, I love you, and I desire to love you more.
Yes.
Ask, you know, another song, More Love to Thee, John D. Key wrote in one place. Ask God, say, Lord, I need more love to love you. I need more zeal for the house of God. I need your help because I got to make it in. I can't let the devil wear me down. I got to make it in. I need you to encourage me. I need you to come in. I need you in my affections. I want to desire you like I desire everything else. I want to have a lust for the Spirit. I want to have a strong desire for God, a strong desire for the Spirit. And that has to be given to you by the Holy Ghost. You weren't born with that.
You got that right.
He has to give you that. And ask God, say, Lord, I don't feel like going today. I need you to encourage my heart. You know, so some people love to go all the time. No, they don't. Some people love to go a whole lot more than others. But everybody from time to time, you know, if you're going for God. Now, if you're going because you know, I used to really love going to church a whole lot because I was playing bass and I was in the band. I loved doing that. If there's something that you love doing, yeah, you know, you'll want to go. If you think you're in charge, you this and that, you just love going. But you know, when it comes, but how much of this love is because you love God?
Yes.
How many, you know, and say, well, who in here loves God most? The person who's sitting up here, who's in charge of everything, the person sitting out there. I would have to say the person probably sitting out there because they had to come and sit and listen to you. And so I got to know they're loving God because, you know, you're in charge. You can do whatever you want to do, but they're loving God. They have to put up with you and keep coming, and you rebuke them. They have to come back. They must love God.
That's right.
You don't halfway speak to them, they come back, they must love God.
Yep.
People don't read them, don't treat them right. And, you know, you come because everybody's worshiping at your feet and doing all this and doing all these things, and you just love the fame and you love the everything else, whatever. But what about the other people? You know why they show up? Because they love God.
Amen.
You know what they're doing when they come? They're working out their own salvation.
That's right.
It's the person who tonight could have been, I don't know, name it, wherever, baseball game, club, or whatever, whatever's in your affections, and you chose to be in God.
Yes.
You don't know, for a little bit, you need to say to yourself, I must have some love for God, because I didn't have to be here. I have developed some need for God. You can't pat yourself on the back too much, because the Holy Ghost and the grace of God got you here, but you yielded, and here you are. Set your affections on things above. He says, for ye are dead and your life is hidden in Christ. In other words, you've changed. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, ye shall appear with him in glory. The reward.
Yes.
The reward. When Christ, everybody stand and shout to give me a chord. The reward that we get when Christ, who is my life, shall appear. Because now, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And another place he says, I'm crucified with Christ. The life I now have in the flesh, I have because of the Son of God who loved me and died for me.
Yes.
I have my life is in Christ. When Christ, who is my life, my life is in Christ. You know, Paula Smith, I'm married to Paula Smith. She's my life. We have a life together. We don't just live together. We have a life together. There's a difference. We're not just partners in the same house. You know, she's not my partner. She's my wife. We have a life together. She's in my life. My decisions and what I do and how I go, she's part of that. I can't think of doing anything except I consider where she would be, Court, where she would be. She's in my life. She's part of my life.
Yes.
And when you're in God, God becomes your life. He's your life. What decisions you make and what you do and how you go and where you are, it's my life. I don't just come to church. It's my life.
My life. Yep. Part of me.
When Christ, who is now my life, when the Lord saves me, I got a new life. That's why I'm working out my salvation. When I walk in here, she's trying to fight his organ up. There's no such thing as group salvation.
No, it's not.
We all come together and worship together, and we do things as a church and as a glorious church. But the reality is, every one of us is saved all by we're saved individually. You know, you're either saved or you're not. You can sit in the middle of people who are saved all day long and you'd be odd man out and not be saved if you haven't given yourself to Christ just like they have. There's no such thing as organizational salvation. We're going to all just go up in heaven and we're going to have our own boulevard and we're just going to be our little cluster. To me, that's clannish and cultish. That you're going to go to heaven and you have all these millions of people who are in God. You don't want to know any other except the people you're on earth with. My God, for the first 10,000 years, I'm not even sure I want to see anybody else on earth with.
Yeah.
You know, you have that mindset of, don't you know that when you get to heaven, everybody who's there, you will know?
Yeah.
Don't you know that?
Yeah.
Haven't you figured that out yet? And somebody said, well, you know, the guy look like this. No, I'll know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll know who I am.
Yeah.
And you'll know me according to the name that I have in heaven.
Yeah.
Yes, you will.
Yes,
you
will.
We got to make up our mind about that. That's what we have to work out. When Christ comes, that's why we live saved. That's why we live holy. This is we like to say to people, you know, the Bible says, be ye holy. God says, be ye holy, for I'm holy. We like to be. You got to be holy. You got to be holy. Well, let us tell you why. I agree. You do have to be holy. Holy means you need to live clean. You need to live a good life and an honest life. And you need to live like God. God is perfect. He's clean. He's honest. This is what we're supposed to be. You're supposed to live holy. Not just talk a holy game. And one of the most disheartening things I know about people living holy is when they live holy and still like the gospel. My God, that ruins your reputation with me.
Yeah.
If you live holy, you can't keep a secret. People come to you with the thoughts of their heart, and before you know it, you've either preached it out or, it's a secret, but you told everybody you tell all your secrets to. Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah, that's not right.
When Christ, who is your life, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. Everybody standing. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. Everybody lift your hands. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for the word of God and for the people of God. Lord, give us a mind to work out our own salvation. Help us, oh God, with the Spirit of God. Lead us and guide us in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, Lord, you touch the sick tonight. Heal them tonight, Lord, and encourage their hearts in God. Lord, move among the people tonight, oh Lord. Give us a steadfast hope and a mind to work out our own salvation, oh God, according to the Word of God and with the Spirit of God. Lord, in the move of God, Lord, there are things we must do ourselves. But But we have to seek things that are above. Lord, when we come to the house of God, we're seeking those things that are above. Father, you told us in another place in Isaiah, some 2,000, 4,000 years ago, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You told us you need to seek the Lord while he may be found. You told us we need to call upon him while he's near. Lord, you told us we're supposed to forsake our sins, our unrighteousness, Lord. Those are things that we have to do. No one can do those for us. Lord, give us a heart and a mind to do those things, Lord. Lead us and encourage us in the way and shed light upon us so we would know, Lord, that we would not only serve you, but we would love doing so, Lord, that our affections would be on things above. In Jesus' name. Lord, bless this church, bless this pastor, bless all these people. And we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise in Jesus' name. And the people of God.